Well, hello again. So good to be with you again this week. I hope you're enjoying this series on believing Jesus. And again, I feel somewhat like a scribe. Jesus said over in Matthew 13:52, he said, "Therefore, every scribe which is instructed under the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." And boy, is he doing that. He's bringing out new things that he's just been saying to me recently. Of course, the word of God is eternal. We always have the written word of God. But he's also bringing forth a lot of things from almost 40 years ago and bringing old and new together so that we can flow with him in this revival for the end times. What a time to be alive. I'm so glad to be alive during this time. And with the ability of the internet to reach around the world, my goodness, I mean, things can happen very quickly, and I think they're going to happen very quickly. Well, I'm not going to review much from last week. We really talked about the difference between, the Lord started it off. You know, he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by him. Without him was not anything created that was created. And in the Greek, it says not one single thing. Okay. So just think about it. And I better just go ahead and quote it so it won't take long. He started asking me, "What is my name?" I'm just going to review. "What is my name?" And I started answering like, you are Jesus, Yeshua, Jehovah. He said, "What is my name?" So I'm thinking, okay, you're Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, all of the things, all of the covenant names that you mention in the Old Testament. Then he said, "What is my name?" And at that point I went, "Lord, you know." He says, "I am is my name." I remember that when he said to Moses, you know, Moses asked, "What is your name?" "I am that I am." But in the, really it says, "I am is my name." Then he said, "I am the Word." Okay, we know that. "I am the Word in you." I am the Word in you. Then he said to me, he said, "This, you know, if he said it to me, I'm pretty sure he's saying it to a lot of us. Your words are often stout against me. How can we walk together unless we agree? I do not change. Your words must change. Remember the training I gave you in the words document, and we're using that in this series. Obey those instructions and watch my power flow when you say what I say. The works of the Father bear witness that he has sent me and that I abide in you. I am the Word in you. Now, believe on him whom God has sent to abide in you." Well, that's Christ in it. That's the gospel. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Okay. "This is the work of God assigned to you." And I knew that he's quoting really from John 6:29, where Jesus said, "This is the work of God." This is what God requires. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Well, when he spoke that, God had sent him within that human body that had lips of his own on planet Earth, while Jesus had his own physical body. God had sent him in that body. But now God has sent him into our bodies, which the Bible says we now are the body of Christ. He has sent him in us. Okay, now continuing the last thing. He said, again, talking to me, but I'm pretty sure might be talking to you. He said, "You often speak facts as though they are truth. I only speak the truth. I will not call facts truth. I am the truth, and I change facts." Let me say it again. "I am the truth, and I change facts to align with truth. My words carry no less power than when I said for light to be." Think of that. The Creator is in you. The one who spoke light be is in you and in me. "I am the truth. Believe on me whom God has sent to abide in you. Speak only truth." Quickly reviewing last week, he started off almost 40 years which is pretty much the subject of last week's lesson about learning the difference between the general word to everybody, like thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. The only way to approach God is through the Son because of the blood. So many things that we talked about, that's a general word to everybody. You know, that thou shalt not commit adultery is to everybody, and many other things. But then there are specific words, and we talked about some examples last week, like, you know, Noah and building the ark. He hadn't told anybody else to build an ark that I know of. Moses to deliver Israel out of Egypt. That was a specific thing, and many other assignments. But there's a difference. So we all have the general word, and the Holy Spirit will energize that for everybody. But then when we also have our specific words, and that's as you begin finding out your path, your calling, your place in the body. Are you a lung? Are you a heart? Are you a kidney? You know, you're finding out your place, because we really are all joined together, just like our physical bodies all work together. All the parts of the physical body work together. In the same way, all the parts of the body of Christ, we're really joined together, and we're supposed to work together. Of course, the enemy's been really good at causing divisions in the body. There's so many denominations and splits and stuff. That will all come to an end one day. You do know when Jesus is here, there won't be any denominations. There will be one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one Spirit. It's supposed to be that way right now. Anyway, that's not. So last week we talked a little bit about the difference between the general word and the Rhema word. And I gave you an example from Jonah, how he disobeyed his Rhema word, but eventually he had to come back and do it. Not I even talked about Gary, who originally disobeyed the Rhema word that I got, but eventually I had to come back and do it. Thank God, our God is the God of the second chance, the third chance. How about the 70 times 7 chance, you know? And that's daily. His mercy is new every morning. Aren't you glad about that? Hallelujah. And so we kind of finished up last week talking about the times that we're living in. It's time to, how did he put it? To reveal the bare arm of the Lord. He wants his strength now demonstrated. And it doesn't matter what your calling really is. I'm a teacher in the body of Christ. Maybe you say, my job, as far as I know right now, I answer the phone at the church. You know, that's what I do. You know, I don't know. Listen, somebody's going to call on that phone line, get saved because you answered that line. Even though you may not be the one witness to him, you may have passed him to somebody else, but if you hadn't been there to answer that phone, that person might wind up in hell. We all have to find our part to play, but the end result is the bare arm of the Lord being revealed in the earth. And no matter if your job is to answer the phone at the church, that's all you do in the kingdom of God, you're still a believer. And the believer's anointing is yours, and God is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. And it doesn't matter your calling. If you're a believer, Mark 16 will tell you, believers, Jesus will tell you there, believers, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That is a believer's promise. You, I just answered the phone. You have authority over devils. You shall cast out devils in his name. Glory to God. What a time to be alive. We're coming into that time where there's going to be a difference. See, again, I cannot bypass these things as he shows them to me and end up, if I bypass them, I'll be in disobedience. Remember, when God had Moses throw down Aaron's rod at Pharaoh's court, it became a snake. Well, remember those magicians who are definitely not anointed of God? They threw down their staffs and they became snakes. I don't even understand how that happens. But the devil does have a certain level of power. Now, the point is, God's snake, the snake from Aaron's rod, swallowed up all the other snakes. And that's a type of Jesus who became sin to take our sin away. Okay. But you can tell there that in the kingdom of darkness, there is some occult power to manifest certain things. Well, God is wanting to demonstrate his arm so strong, just like he kept doing. You know, in the beginning of those 10 plagues that came to Egypt, the magicians were able to keep up with some of them. The first ones, they were able to duplicate, but eventually they couldn't. See, and the whole point was God was showing his power against all these false gods of Egypt, showing, Okay, you worship this. Let me show you. I'm God, not that thing. You worship that over there, do you? Okay, let me show you. And through those 10 plagues, he was showing his superiority as God. Well, we're called to do that same thing right now, because people argue with you. No, Jesus isn't the Son of God. You know, Muhammad or Buddha or Allah or good Lord in Hindu, they have hundreds, if not thousands, of these gods, you know. And our job in these last days, what God's wanting to do is to reveal his bare arm in the earth, just like he did in Egypt, to the point the people go, that's your God is God. Your God, this is what I thought was God is not God. Just like in Egypt, what I thought was God is not God. You are God. Your God, Jesus, he is God. Amen. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that's God. So, picking it up from there, that's review, took me 11 minutes, okay. Picking it up from there, God is wanting us to come to the place where we, John 6:29, I tell you, you ought to, if you still use a paper Bible, or however you highlight in your electronic Bible, whatever you're using, print it. You ought to print John 6:29 out and put it on your wall somewhere. Put it on your bathroom mirror where you'll see it every day. This is our job. This is what he's calling us to do. This is really the work of God, that we believe on him whom God has sent. The normal interpretation of that verse, like I learned in school, Sunday school, I learned in church, the denominational church I grew up in. Yes, the first level of that is believe on Jesus, whom God has sent in his own body, the one who bled and died for us on the cross. That is the first level of that. And thank God, you got to believe. Thank God, if you believe that, you're going to make heaven. Hallelujah. Okay? Repent and believe that, and you'll make it. But that's not really where he's calling us to. If you're a revivalist, if you're part of this end time army, do what the Bible prophesied Joel's army for the end time. See, the devil couldn't even handle one Jesus, you know, or let's say it another way. There's only one Jesus. Boy, he could not handle Christ in one body when he was here on earth. I mean, when he'd come to town, he'd destroy the devil's works. Blind eyes would open. Cripples would walk again. That woman bowed over for 18 years and all, she's delivered now. The guy that brought his lunatic son. I mean, every time Jesus would come to a new village, he'd devastate it. And the devil couldn't handle Christ in one human body. What's he going to do with a million bodies, all of us with Christ in us, who know how to believe on him whom God has sent in us? We're supposed to do the same thing. We're supposed to devastate the devil's works everywhere we go. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, it wasn't God's plan that the ministry of Jesus come to an end at the cross. No, the whole idea was that Jesus is the seed who was going to be planted in each one of us, and we allow that to come to full maturity, it's going to produce the same fruit now that it produced then. Our job is to believe on him whom God hath sent in us. Sunday, my Hyundai, I'm about to have a running fit. But it's going to begin with our words. We have to believe what the king says about words. Now, the king had some really important things to say about words right now. So I'm deviating from what I thought we were going to do exactly. This has to do with that first tongue that he gave me at the beginning of this message. Turn over to our old familiar friend, Mark chapter 11. Yes. We're going to look at the foundational things, some things that Jesus said about words. The king, when I say Jesus, I'm talking about the king. See, one of the things he said to me, he said recently, here's a new thing. He said, the kingdom of God, it functions the way the king says it does, not the way you think it does. I already thought I was trying to function the way the king said to function. And so it always, you know, but obviously we're not, because we're not having the same results he had, where the people get healed first time, every time, no exceptions. That's, he said the same works. That's the same works right there. Okay, that, we've been preaching on that forever. Turn to Mark chapter 11. Got my good old paper Bible, if you hear the pages rustling here. This Bible's been with me around the world. I was preaching one time. Look at this. I was preaching one time, and just while I'm preaching, the first two chapters just fell out of my Bible, you know? And I'm going, I said, oh, I can't have a Bible that starts with the curse, chapter 3. I still can't throw it away. I love this old Bible. All right, Mark 11:23. So we're talking about the kingdom of God functions the way the king says it functions, and not the way you think it functions. Well, here's something that the king says about the way the kingdom functions. Starts off in verse 22, have faith in God. Well, boy, we want that. I don't think we're going to have revival without faith in God, right? Let's see what the king says, what that means. What does it mean, according to the king, to have faith in God? Well, for verily, truly, I say unto you, I love this word, that whosoever, hello, Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, I just answer the phone, hello, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and that, you know, that represents whatever demonic problem it is, whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is, your life or the life of somebody else. Whosoever shall say, not think, not wish, say. He's talking about words here. He who is the Word is teaching us about words. You want to have faith in God, do you? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to operate in faith. Well, let me teach you about that. Okay, I'm listening. For whosoever shall, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Now get this, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I could go on, but let's just camp here for a minute. The kingdom functions the way the king says it does, and not the way you think it does. It's obvious to me after all these years, been at this a long time, see this gray hair, I earned that by living on this planet, dealing with all this stuff. The king says, if you're going to operate in faith in God, and you're going to have to come to the place where you believe that when what you say, when you speak words, those words are going to come to pass. Again, yes, sir. Okay. Back to the words document, because he said something to me about that. Now, again, all of this came a little bit piecemeal to me. Here it is. And so I have to listen as he shows me things. It may take me a moment to find it, but I found it pretty quick this time. He says, this is in that way back in 1986. He said to me, I'm sure we're in 86 still. Yep. He said, I want you to remember Samuel. Remember the prophet Samuel? He was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. He anointed both kings of, you know, the first two kings of Israel. And he said, remember Samuel, what the Bible says, God, let none of his words fall to the ground. He says, I desire that same thing with you. You don't have to be a prophet either. The king says, if you're going to operate in faith in God, you're going to have to come to the place where you know that what you say comes to pass. See, think about the Word in us. He that created all things, in the beginning was the Word. The Word, I'll say it again, the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were created by Him, made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Well, He's the one that spoke. Light be. And light was. And all through Genesis 1, that's the Son, who all things were made by Him. The one who became flesh and dwelt among us. The second member of the Godhead. God the Father conceives everything. He knows what He wants. But it's the Son, who He is the Word. He's the one that speaks everything. And the Holy Spirit was the one actually brooding on the face of the deep. He was the one on earth. And He's the manifest whatever is spoken by the Son. But creation is attributed to the Son, really, not to the Father. See, we think of them as three individuals, but really it's one God. He's doing His best to represent Himself to us. And so it's good. We have to receive that. But the Word is given credit for creating all things. Well, He speaks it, and the Holy Spirit performs it, because it's the will of the Father. See, it's all working together. Well, now that same Word, that same Spirit, that birthed from the Holy Ghost, but into you, but it's the very life of Christ, Christ in you, the Word now is in you. Think about it. But it has to work. We just finished a series on recoding the brain, and we're going to be bringing a lot of those principles over here, because now we know what to recode the brain with, and that's what we're going to be recoding our brain with, the sayings, the teachings of Jesus, because He's the King. If anyone knows how the kingdom works, isn't it the King? Or the King says, if we're going to operate in faith, we're going to have to come to the place where we believe that our words come to pass. So He was telling me about Samuel. Remember Samuel, because the Bible says, God let none of His words fall to the ground. And He says, I desire that same thing with you. Now He's going to start talking in a very practical way. And I'll just tell you right now, see, I'm hearing James, but I also know that I'm not supposed to really get into that teaching yet. But let me just remind you, it's previews of coming attractions, I guess. James has a lot to say about taming the tongue. He says, really, no man, he means a natural man, can't tame the tongue. You really can't. But a spiritual man can. Jesus, and how I know that is Jesus. He sure tamed His tongue. You know, He wouldn't even tell him that Lazarus was dead when He knew Lazarus was dead. He said, Lazarus sleeps. And they heard that, and they said, oh, well, if he's sleeping, he'll get better. We don't have to go, because they knew it was dangerous to go back, you know, where Lazarus was, because the Jews, the Pharisees and so forth, they were lying in wait. They knew Lazarus, I think the devil made him sick. I think it was a trap trying to get Jesus to come back. And they were going to arrest Him and kill Him before the time. So the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go yet. And Jesus knew that Lazarus had died. He knew that. But when the disciple, you know, he said, well, let's go, you know, he didn't go back until Lazarus died. Well, once Lazarus died, the Jews dispersed. They said, well, he didn't come. I guess he's not coming. They buried Lazarus. We can go now. So now the danger's past. I see God's always got a reason for everything He does. The devil thinks he's smart. He's got like this compared to God. Jesus knew. The point is, Jesus knew Lazarus was dead. But when they talked about it, what did He tell him first? Oh, he's asleep. And they didn't want to go back, you know. So they're going, oh, good. Well, Jesus, if he's sleeping, he'll get better. he'll amend. We don't have to go back there, because they were afraid. You know, Thomas says, oh, let's go back and die with him, you know. Jesus said, no, he's sleeping. Oh, good. Okay, good. And finally, Jesus had to tell him. He says, look, Lazarus has died. But he'd already told him, this sickness shall not end in death. Well, we always think death is the end. It's not the end. So, sure enough, it didn't end in death. Jesus already said that this sickness shall not end in death. Now, when Lazarus died, we always think that's the end, but it's not the end. So they went back, you know, And he had to tell them. He said, Lazarus has died. They weren't getting it. So in order to communicate with them, now later on in that story, you'll hear Jesus say, Father, I know you hear me always, but for their sake, I said it. Because Jesus did something that he normally does not do. Jesus spoke the facts instead of the end result. He told them Lazarus has died. He didn't want to do that. He normally said, no, he's asleep, because he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. But in order to communicate, Father, I know you hear me always. I did it so they would understand. But now, and he, so, you know, he obeyed the command, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus did. God raised him from the dead. But it's just a good example of how Jesus would not just normally say the facts. He would speak the end result. Jesus knew the power of his words, and we have got to learn the power of our words. So when the Holy Spirit said this to me all those years ago, and I have not been real good at obeying this, I don't know anybody really that, I mean, my language is really cleaned up from how it was before I got saved, that's for sure. But I still speak the facts too often. I hope you know what I hope you've heard that lesson that's at my website titled Truth Changes Fact. Fact. Young man, you got melanoma cancer. Our advice is you get your affairs in order. We're going to send you to MD Anderson Hospital in Houston, but we don't think you have 6 months. Facts. Ronald Reagan said facts are stubborn things. Man, you're stunned. You're walking away with facts, you know. But see, facts are not the truth. Truth changes facts. And thank God we had been trained to know the Word of God and to come into agreement on what we could believe. And we did. And we from that point on now, we only spoke the end result. Even though worry would come. Listen, I know from, you can believe in your heart with doubts running like machine gun bullets in your head. I've been through this so many times, I know it's true. My mind I would catch myself planning my own funeral just on automatic pilot. I mean, I wasn't trying to do that. I'd catch myself thinking about, oh, I want this song to play at my funeral. What? And I'm not going to die. And so I'd start speaking the end result, speaking the end result. I'll live and not die and start, you know, the Lord is the God that healeth me. He blesses my bread. He blesses my water. He takes sickness away from the midst of me. Melanoma, I command you. You get out of my body. I'm speaking to you, melanoma. I'm going to live and not die. Every cell of my body, every cell of that cancer, you're going to get out of my body in Jesus' name, and on and on and on. It went. And finally, that's exactly what happened. I was in my early 40s, and they gave me 6 months to live. I'm 70. How old am I? 78. Glory, I'm only 78, as my mother would say. It's been a long 6 months. All right. Truth changes facts. So let me read again what the Lord said to me way back there. He said, remember Samuel, God let none of his words fall to the ground. I desire that same thing with you. Now, you're going to have diligence to watch your words carefully. And James says that the spiritual man, by the help of the Holy Ghost, we can tame the tongue, but you got to bridle it with the Word of God. So here he says, watch your tongue. Watch what you say. No criticism. No unbelief. Don't be speaking unbelief. No doubt. And so at words, I don't know. Most of the wars that I've won has been faith in my heart and doubt in my head. And I'm telling you, we've won them time and time again, time and time again. You can come to the place where the doubts in your head are not so strong. Again, I've talked about this before. You know, when it comes to like God's provision for us, it's hard for me to even worry anymore. I just can't hardly even work it up. I've just seen him deliver us so many times that, there's a super highway of dendrite neuron pathways in my brain. I know because we've seen it. We've seen it over and over again for all these years. And now if he asked me to believe for something way beyond what I've ever done before, $1 million or something, I don't know. There might still be some warfare there or here. But see, you learn. Faith is from the heart, my brother and sister. not really the mind. I've won so many battles with faith in my heart and doubt in my mind. You just have to keep talking to your mind talking to the circumstances and talking to your mind, reminding it of what God said. But every time you have a victory, you experience that. And that's what, that's when the encoding really takes place. Okay, that's really from the series. But he said, no criticism, no unbelief, no doubt, and no fear. Gary, have you ever been 100% of that? Probably not. But I'm getting better, and I'm going to get really better. Because Jesus, the King, said it. He said, if you're going to have faith in God, you're going to have to come to the place where you believe what you say comes to pass. What has that got to do with God? God is the one that's going to bring it to come to pass. Now remember, the event that had just happened, he cursed the fig tree. Why? Does he hate that fig tree? No. You know where he went next? He went into the temple and drove them out. That's what the whole whip thing, where he drove them out of, you know, out of the temple. My house is supposed to be, my father's house is supposed to be the house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. And what really is about to happen, he's going to bring an end to the whole original first covenant of the law. It's going to be done away to establish a new and better covenant. Well, the fig tree has always been a symbol of Israel. It's really a kind of a type and shadow of the law. It really was a covering. The law could not do away with sin, really. I mean, it was just pointing to the day. All those animal sacrifices, all that blood, none of that could really take away sin. Dave would say it was like a master charge card. Charge it to the master. We're doing this because the day will come when the master will shed his blood. God, boy, I don't know if you guys can feel that. Sometimes that wave of just, whoo, goosebumps, whatever it is, it's almost the hair on my arm raises up. Charge it to the master. The day is coming when the master will come and he will shed his blood. And we'll all be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. We'll all be born again into a new family, a new kingdom. Glory to God. So that old covenant is done away. It was pointing to the fact we needed a Savior. And when the Savior comes, now there's a whole new covenant, and it's a whole new, you're in a whole new family. Of course there's a new covenant. You're not even the same kind of, you're not even the same creature, the same species that you were before. You were a son of Adam. Now Jesus is your Adam. You're born a sinner. Now you're reborn righteous in God, you know. Of course there's a new covenant. Now, when he's talking about, let me make sure I'm staying in sequence, and I am. He said, again, from the words document years ago, he continues teaching on this about Samuel's words, and he wants to bring us all to the place where God works with our words, where he can trust us. See, I'm gonna be mean to me and nice to you. What if all of Gary's words, what if it came to pass? And I mean instantly, when I speak it, boom, like light be, light was. What if it comes to where when Gary speaks? Well, what about when Gary says, Lord, I'm speaking this for teaching. I'm hoping these words don't come to pass, okay? I'm teaching here, Lord. What if when Gary says, oh, my back is killing me. Boom. What if my words came to pass, you know? What if somebody cuts me off in traffic, almost hit my bumper, just choom, come right on in? And what if those words came to pass? And if they came to pass, that guy in that whole car go poof and disintegrated. You know, you're out of here, you're gone. What if every time I said, in the past, a long time ago in a galaxy far away, in the past, I would have said, to hell with you. But what if those words came to pass? See, you understand the point? God wants to bring us to the place where he can work together with our words. I'm going to read it again. This is what the King starts off when he says, have faith in God. How elemental is that? I want to have faith in God. You want to have faith in God? You want your faith to work? You want to work together with God, do you? Okay. First thing you got to know. You got to know this. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now the king says, if you're going to have faith in God and work together with him, you got to come to the place where you believe what you say will come to pass, and not just part of the time. And that's where he continued on with that in that lesson. He says, listen, he didn't say listen. He said, because spiritual power cuts both ways. The tongue must be bridled, or your religion is in vain. He's quoting from James, the book of James right there. The tongue must be bridled, or your religion is in vain. Okay, I hear, quote that, or read that is what he's saying. So let's find it real quick. Now, I want to back up just a little bit, because verse 23, the verse we're after is a little further down, but listen. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. So your natural face, you're just looking in a mirror. For he beholds himself and then goes his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Okay. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the word of God, that's Christ in you really, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now here it is. If any man among you seem to be religious, I go to church, I give into the kingdom, I pray, I worship, I fast, I whatever. I do all those things, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. Wait, there's a connection between my tongue and my heart. Did you notice the connection there? What we just read, doubt not in his heart, but shall believe that his words shall come to pass. The tongue, not thoughts, words shall come to pass. Here it's worded a different way. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, because he didn't bridle his tongue, so the tongue affects the heart, this man's religion is vain. You can look up that word vain, and it simply means empty, zero, powerless, void, nothing. What? It doesn't mean you can't go to heaven, but there's just no power. There's no power. You're not really being a doer of the word. We're going to be doers of the word. We're going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We're going to cast out devils. We're going to set people free from all kinds of bondage, whether it be physical in hospitals, even could be mental in mental hospitals. I mean, a lot of times that's just a healing, a reconnecting of neuron pathways, or it could be a devil. Either way. But step number one, the word who is in us, the word who was made flesh and dwelt among us, but now dwells in us, he teaches, you want to have faith in God, do you? Want to work together with God, do you? You're going to have to come to this, that you believe when you speak to the mountain. Okay, so I was talking about the fig tree. Perfect example. Now, there's he didn't hate the fig tree. He is about to bring to end the fig leaf of religion and establish the new, which is the born again, becoming children of God, the real. Okay, so to illustrate what's about to happen to his disciples, he finds a fig tree that on purpose he found it, one that did not have fruit. That's a type of religion, a powerless religion like we just read here. It's vain. It's a fig tree, doesn't have any fruit. Its purpose is to produce fruit, but it's not producing any fruit. Well, that's religion. That's religion. That's the fig leaves in the garden. That's trying to cover it up. No, covering it up won't do it. Going to have to be the shedding of blood. Okay, can't reteach all that again. So Jesus, he believes what he says will come to pass. Well, you remember what? Here, we're in that. No, we're in James now. Well, you remember what he said. You remember what happened there. He's walking by this. He sees this fig tree. He wants to illustrate what's about to happen with the new covenant that's coming. He's going to do away with the old, the first covenant, going to establish a new covenant. So to a visual demonstration, there's a fig tree with no fruit. Perfect type of religion with no power. No power to really change you, you know. So he walks over to it. Looks at it. Okay, yep, no fruit. He speaks to it. He doesn't think it, just think it. He speaks to it. I wonder what the disciples thought. He walks over to it and he says, "No man eat fruit of thee again forever." No man. He just speaks words. He didn't have an axe with him. He didn't have a chainsaw. He didn't have any... He didn't do anything. He just spoke words. And he's walking away. And at that moment, didn't look like anything happened. Make note of that. But something did happen. And it began, I believe it began the instant that he spoke it. The Holy Spirit is working together, just like in the very beginning. The Holy Spirit worked together with the Word, light be, and light was. It's the Holy Spirit that was on earth. The Holy Spirit is the molecule changer. But the Word speaks it. The Holy Spirit does it. As soon as Jesus walks away, he spoke the Word, walking away. Doesn't look like any change. Boy, you don't hear him say one thing against what he said. Overnight, the Holy Spirit is, I mean, instantly, I believe the Holy Spirit severed the root. Severed the roots of that tree. The next day when they're walking by, that fig tree is withering now. And it shocked the disciples. And they're going, "Lord, how quickly the tree that you spoke against, how quickly it manifested. What you said came to pass." Now they said withered away, but what you said came to pass. It didn't look like it immediately when you spoke it, but shortly thereafter, we see the results. What you said, Jesus, came to pass. And he uses that as a teaching opportunity, really prophesying about us and the new covenant, that this is how we function. He is our prototype, looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the developer of our faith. He's the one we look to. And that's when he begins teaching them. He's telling them, listen, he's going, I have faith in God. I know that when I speak, God works together with my words. I speak the words, but he performs the word. And when he said, if he was to say it that way, he would be referring to the Father in him, or you could say the Holy Spirit, which is called the Spirit of the Father. So Jesus says, well, this is how I function. This is what I do. I know that my words, they come to pass because the Holy Spirit is the enforcer of what I say. I mean, I'm about my Father's business. I spend time with him. I know what his will is. I do what he's wanting me to do. But because of that, I'm very careful about my words because I know that when I speak, God is hearing everything, and God, the Holy Spirit, the Father's Spirit is working with my words, and they will come to pass. He could have said, none of my words fall to the ground. We're going to come to the place where we're going to say, well, none of our words fall to the ground. Brothers and sisters, can we see the need for deep repentance? I sure see it in my life. And it doesn't mean we'll never tell a joke or anything. But so many, we are so bad. Again, now, Father, again, I'm teaching. This is not my confession over you, but let's say our history has been, let's say it that way. Our history has been, we just blab the facts all the time. You know, just saying about ourselves, about our children, about our job, about our people we know, about our presidents, our politicians. And I'm here as guilty as anybody. Boy, that's going to have to change. Now, he continued teaching me back. there. I'm going to share it with you. Spiritual power cuts both ways. The tongue, I'm reading from the words document. The tongue must be bridled or your religion is in vain. Did you see that in James? The strong thing to overcome is not appetites and lusts. I thought it was. But rather, the tongue. The tongue controls the body. He's quoting from James again. We probably just won't get into it today. You know, I'm seeing that big ship. You know, he talks about the tongue. James does. How it's a little, the tongue is like the rudder on a big ship. Picture the Queen Mary or something huge, some huge big ship, the Titanic or something like that. That thing that weighs massive, massive tons. You turn that whole big thing, which you could say is the course of your life. Okay. How do you turn it? Well, he says with a big ship, you do it with a little tiny rudder in the back. You turn the rudder and it changes the direction of the ship. He said the tongue is just like that. If you can turn the tongue to only say what God says, it will change the course of your life. That's good teaching right there, Brother Gary. Keep it up. I think I will. Okay. Then he says the tongue controls the body. He said, my spirit, now he's talking about the Holy Spirit here. The Holy Spirit, through my word, can tame your tongue. Boy, here's a good prayer for you. David prayed this. I didn't look it up. You can look it up. Set a watch upon my lips that I do not sin against thee. I think that's the exact quote. Maybe not. It's close. Here's a good prayer, though. Lord, set a watch upon my lips. Help me, Lord. Give me a check before I say it. We need to slow down, not be, especially in anger, you know, you say things you don't mean to say. But not just when anger, just calling things that are the way they are. Years ago, he said this to me. He said, there is no power in calling things the way they are because they already are. You're just confirming what already are. That's bad grammar, but it makes the point. Quit confirming what already are. You want things to change. So call those things that be not as though they were. And then you'll have what you want. So my spirit through my word can tame your tongue. Then he said, speak my word. Then he said, speak in line with my word at all times. That's exactly what he had Abraham and Sarah do. When he changed their name. See, when you change your name, you're changing what you say about yourself. I am. Before, it's just Abram, but now I am Abraham. Well, every time he says that in that language, it means I am the father of a multitude. That is exactly opposite of the facts. They didn't have any. Him and Sarah together had no kids. You know, he had one through Hagar. But God, the promise was he was going to have a child through his wife, Sarah. So God changed their name so that he can, who are you? I am the father of a multitude. He's saying what God said about him. He changed Sarai's name to Sarah. Sarah means the princess. Well, here's a 90-year-old woman. You don't normally think, when you hear the word princess, you think of the young, fertile one who's going to produce eventually the heir to the throne, right? But here he's saying, you 90-year-old woman who's passed the way of women, not ovulating anymore, I want you to say about yourself, you are the princess. Every time you say, somebody say, who are you? I am the princess. I will produce the heir to the throne. Now, she did. She produced Isaac, but through that line came the king. And I don't mean just King David. I mean King Jesus. She produced the heir to the throne. Glory to see. You don't feel that? Whoo, mercy. Woo. Shoo, man. So he says, and so they weren't quoting the word exactly. I am the father of a multitude. I mean, that's in the word, of course, but what I'm saying is they were saying about themselves what God had said about them. They were saying it in the face of all the facts, because if they'd just quoted facts, if they'd have called things that are the way they are, it sounded like all of us. Well, I'm almost 100 years old now. I thought I heard God. Thought we were going to have a child together, you know. It's been a long time since I was a hot rod. I used to be. I'm not sure I could even do my part now to bring that child to come to pass. And Sarah's over there going, yeah, I thought we were going to have a baby, you know. And here I'm 90 years old. I quit ovulating a long time ago. I'm not even producing any eggs to be fertilized, you know. Yeah, well, I'm getting old now. I remember what I guess we missed God. They could have talked like that, and if they'd have continued to talk like that, do you think Isaac would ever have been born? No, that's why God had to change what they were saying about themselves. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Every time they say their name, every time they say who they are speaking in line with what God had said about them. I am the father of a multitude. I am the princess who will produce the heir to the throne. And it's Sarah herself, it says in Hebrews 11, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Them speaking the word of God actually rolled back the clock of time. Of course, she was ovulating again. Abraham became a hot rod again. You know, he had six more children after Isaac. With his, Sarah eventually passed away and he remarried. He had six more kids by his second wife. This man got healed, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. All right. So he says, speak my word and speak my word at all times. Now we've got about 8 minutes left. I'm going to continue from the words document. Now, listen. He says, at times, that will mean just saying yes or no when people talk to you. They want, you know, and people care, and they don't, and most people do not understand these things at all. They're just talking like humans talk. We are not humans anymore. Well, not exactly. See, we're wearing this flesh as camouflage. People see you coming. They think you're just another human like them. They don't know that you're an alien from another world. Our citizenship is not in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our home is there. That's where your birth certificate is in heaven. Okay. They don't know that we're invaders from another world come to snatch them from hell. But we are. We operate by a whole different kingdom. We can't use our words in the same nilly-willy way that the world does. Because if we're going to work with God, if we're going to have faith in God and co-labor with him, man, he said this cuts both ways. Your words, if he's going to bring it to pass, it's going to bring it to pass both ways. You can't be saying, go to. You can't be saying, this and that. Okay. So he said, there's going to be times, like even right now, we're going through some things that if I'm going to be very careful to obey this, I'm not going to be speaking the facts to you. Now, when we actually have a doctor's appointment or something, that I think you get a timeout. I'm not sure about that, but I'm hoping we get a little. How's the doctor going to help you if you don't tell him what's going on? But we're talking about the world now. Somebody calls, how you doing? I don't want to lie to anybody, but sometimes it'll just be, hey, we're doing okay. Yes. No. You may have to keep it very short. Because you won't know what else to say, because anything else you added to that would be a measure of doubt and unbelief, and a measure of quoting circumstances against my word. Yeah. Hopefully you'll never hear me say again, my back is killing me, which I've already asked the Lord to cast those words to the ground so that they don't bear fruit. He warns us ahead of time. He warned me way back then. He says, and when you start really operating differently than the world, you quit talking like the world and just spouting the facts all the time, and you start speaking my word or speaking in line with my word all the time, he says, people are going to think you're strange. Many of them already think we're strange. Okay, but anyway. People are going to think you're demented, crazy, mental. You know, they thought that about Jesus, his own brethren at times. They thought he'd lost his mind. He says, people will think you've had a nervous breakdown. You're not talking like them. You're not speaking like them anymore. People will think you're a fanatic. I'm okay with that. Hey, I was a big fan of different football teams, you know. Let's be a big fan of Jesus and the kingdom. Okay? I don't mind being thought of as a fanatic, do you? He says, don't fear what man thinks of you. Just don't fear that at all. And don't fear offending them. And I have tried my best to operate in this at times. It's almost like people sometimes, well, yes, sir. Okay, man. All right. Okay. Again, I'm not going to ignore what he's sharing. This will probably be the last example for today. Way back there when I told you about the melanoma thing, where they gave me 6 months to live. Now listen, that's serious business. When the expert doctors are telling you in your early 40s that they don't think you've got but 6 months to live, and you're in a war for your life. You're in a war now for your life. And I already had this at that time. And I knew that it was really important. And we had close friends at the time that really got offended at us, because they found out later about what we had been through and about that melanoma diagnosis, but we never told them about it. We never told them the facts. Some people we did, because I knew I could trust them to pray and not gossip. But these other friends, I loved them very much, still love them today, but I knew that if I told them, man, it'd be going everywhere. Oh, have you heard the bad news? Have you heard what happened? Have you heard about the diagnosis with Gary? Oh, my goodness. It's so sad. Only in his 40s, and he's only got 6 months. I mean, it would have spread like wildfire, and I knew it would have. So I didn't tell him. You know? He said, don't fear offending. They got offended, and really offended, and didn't even speak to us for a long time. But eventually, the Lord healed that and restored it. They got offended again at a later time, and today that relationship is strained. Still love them to pieces. Do anything for them. I think they would us too. But we've had a hard time walking together, and words is a big part of it. So he says, don't fear offending people. And what he said to me, he says to all. Got 2 minutes. I'm going to see if I can get through this paragraph. He says, don't fear offending them. You do what I say unto you. And in time, they will come to, he said, be in awe of you. They'll come to respect you. Why? For there will be no denying the power that flows when you speak. And is that not exactly what Jesus said? You want to have faith? What did the king say about having faith in God? He said, if you're going to co-labor with God, where he works with your words the way he's working with mine, like you see what's happening here. When I speak, it happens. You've got to become a person that believes that when you speak to any problem, you do not doubt in your heart, but you believe that what you say will come to pass. You're going to have to learn to bridle your words. The Holy Spirit and my word can tame your tongue. We shall become a people who believes what we say shall come to pass. Let's start. Let's rename you. Or let's rename all of us right now. Who are you? I am a person that when I speak, what I say comes to pass. That is who I am. Love you so much. See you next time. Bye-bye for now.